Our God is good. Today, the theme for our Men's Day 2019 is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I will be reading from verses 14 through 15. Actually, I want us to read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verses 14 through 15, in the easy-to-read version of the scripture. So if you don't have that, they will pull it out for us. I want us to read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Do we have it now? Let us read it. The love of Christ controls us because we know that one person died for everyone, so all have died. He died for all, so that those who live would not continue to live for themselves, that's great. The love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. Living the life of love, it's a command for us as children of God that believe in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we have a commandment to keep. And that is to live the life of love. It means, it is something, as we read it here, living the life of love is something we should desire. It's something we should desire. It's something we should pursue as a child of God that really wants to please the Master. The one that came and died for us. He did something for us by releasing himself, by giving himself unto us. And what he is asking for us to do is to take over from there. After you had received the life of Christ, then reflect it. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6 is telling us something. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. And loving. See, when we're talking of living the life of love, because people think love is just about, I greet you, you greet me, I smile. I always smile to people. I always give you water. I always give you this. Let us see what love really means. And loving means living the way he commanded us to live. Are you with me? What does it mean to love? 2 John 1:6 makes it clear to us. When you say that you love, it simply means you are living a life of obedience to the word of God. Let the love of Christ control you simply means let the word of Christ control you. That's another simple way of putting it. And loving means living the way he commanded us to live. And God's command is this. Let's read it from there. That you live a life. Are you with me? So I didn't hear your voice. Yes. Don't read it by faith. I want you to actually read it, okay? So let's start from that verse 6 again. And loving means living the way he commanded us to live. And God's command is this, that you live a life of love. You heard this command from the beginning. So you live a life of love, it's a command. It's not optional for a child of God. Because when you give your life to Jesus Christ, your life is not your life anymore. What should be flowing out of you naturally is love. yielding to the commandment of God, living according to the word of God. It is something that you cannot even make it up. It flows naturally as a child of God indeed. So it's not something that you struggle to do. If you are still struggling to follow the word of God, it means there is a comma behind your being born again. It means it has to be checked out. It means that two things are lacking in your life, and we will go further and we'll be able to see this. It is very, very important. God has given us the ability, the power to do his will. When he called us and we yielded, we gave our life to him, the spirit, a spirit in us, help us to please him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Jesus has the power of God. And his power has given us everything we need. Everything. When the Bible says everything, it means everything we need to live a life devoted to God. We have this thing because we know him. Did you see that? The only reason that makes you qualify to have everything, the power to do everything that God has commanded us to do. What makes you eligible? What makes you qualify? What makes you ready and be equipped with that power to live a devoted life is because what? We know him. We know him. You can never know Christ. You can never come in contact with Christ. You can never give your life to Christ, and you will lack the power to live a life devoted to God. Praise God. So it means living the life of love is living the life of the word. When we look at it from that 2 John chapter 1, verse 6 that we read before, it makes this clear unto us. So Jesus is the love of God. Love your neighbor simply means do according to the word of God to your neighbor. Do according to the word of God to your neighbor. People think to love, it's something that is just so impossible. When we say the love of God controls us, when we yield ourselves to the word of God, the power of God, see that scripture, start the 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, Jesus has the power of God. Jesus has the power of God. So you are connected to Jesus. What does that mean? Then you have the power of God. Can you ask your neighbor, do you have the power of God? Please receive an answer. Let them talk to you. Some people don't have a neighbor. If you ask your neighbor and they say, yes, I do have the power of God, then that person must be able to live in love. I'm telling you the honest truth. Except if we just say it. How many people are born again? Everybody is born again. How many people are spirit-filled? Everybody is spirit-filled. But when it comes to who has the power of God to love, then some people will have to think about it. That sometimes, you know, it depends on what they do to me. The main thing we need to do to be able to live the life of the word, that is the life of love, is found in the book of Colossians. Let's go there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, in NLT version of the scripture. This is what we're going to break down. There are two major things in this scripture, and we will dwell on them today as we read it. Don't forget, I'm saying the main thing we need to do to be able to live the life of love, that is the life of the world, we found it in this scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to what? The moment you stop following the Lord, you can never live his life. That is the key. The moment you stop following the Lord. See, when someone is following me now, I'm mentoring him. You will see that he will begin to do like me. We begin to do like each other. The moment you stop following somebody, you are being detached. Something has been disconnected. Then you begin to lose the sight of the person. You begin to miss things about the person that you know. Following Jesus Christ continuously enables us to be able to live the life of the Word of God, because He is the Word. So the problem here is following consistently. Following. Following the Lord is not just coming to church. It's not just reading the Bible. We were never instructed to read the Bible anyway. We were instructed to study the Bible, because there is a difference between reading and studying. So as we go for that, we will get this clearer. John chapter 8, verse 31. We are coming back to that Colossians. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him. Did you see that? These are the people that believed in Jesus. See what he told them. Because you can believe in Jesus and you may end up stopping following him. If you continue... See the meaning of following. If you continue to accept and obey my teachings, you are really my followers. So what makes you, what defines you as a follower of Jesus Christ is actually those two things: accept his teachings and obey his teaching. Let's say it together. Accept his teaching and obey. Let's say it again. Accept his teachings and obey his teachings. This is what makes you. This is what defines you as a follower of Jesus Christ. We are going somewhere, so keep following me. Thanks for listening. Pay attention. All right? So, for us to be able to continue to follow Jesus, because in this world that we are, there are a lot of things that can discourage you, a lot of things that can set you back, a lot of things that can distract your attention in following. We must continuously accepting, that is, be in agreement, understanding his word, and doing it. So accept and obey. Accept and obey. Accept and obey his teachings is critical in following the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to that Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Then you will see the two things after Jesus said to them in verse 6 of that Colossians. Matter of fact, let's read it from verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. So let's continue. Let your root grow down. Let your root grow down. Let's sing it as a song. Let your root. I want you to change the your to my. Okay, can we do that? We have the power to do everything now. Let's go. Let my root grow down into him, and my life be built on him. Stop right there. There are two major things right there that will enable us to really live the life of love. By following Jesus Christ, we will be able to achieve these two things. Our roots will grow down into him, and our lives will be built on him. One says into, and the other one says on. There are two different things right here that the Lord wants us to pay attention to. Our roots will grow down into him, and our lives will be built on him. So the two must be balanced. Into something that goes into the roots and something that goes into the body. So our roots will grow down into him and our lives will be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. See, we quote it, faith comes by hearing, faith comes by hearing, faith comes by hearing. After you heard, you must accept it and you must obey it. Otherwise, no faith can grow. It's not just about hearing it. You must accept what you heard and you must obey what you heard. When you accept and obey his word that you receive from teaching, then your roots will grow down into him and your lives will be built on him. Then you will see your faith growing. We all have faith. Faith is a gift that God gave us. That is the grace of God upon our lives. But as we continue, you see what you need to do to your faith. You cannot just remain like that. Then your faith will grow strong and the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with what? We overflow with thanksgiving. So basically, we're saying right here, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. So let's take them one by one. Let your roots grow down into him. The Bible is simply saying right there that let Christ be the source of your strength, your focus in everything. Because Christ is our nourishing strength. You will see plants draw nourishment from the soil through their root, right? So we should be drawing our life-giving strength from Christ Jesus. As you're hearing the word of God, that will remain your strength. That is what will be strengthening you. So you will have strength. You see, when the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, it means through Christ that gave me his word and I accept and obey the word. The more you accept and obeying the word of God, the more stronger you are becoming in faith. Because that is what can empower you. That is what can strengthen you. It's not just about quoting the scripture. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What have you heard? To accept and to obey. It's very, very critical. The more we draw our strength from him by trusting his word. Trust is very, very important. The way we show that we believe the word of God, we accept the word of God, and we obey the word is by trusting the word. That is why I said that just reading the scripture is not sufficient. But when you are studying it, you will receive revelational knowledge. You will begin to receive teachings from the Holy Spirit as it opens your eyes of understanding. Faith is our connection to the root. God establishes us in Christ through our faith. So that our faith needs to grow in order for our root to grow deeper in the Lord. When the root grows deeper, it means will be stable. It means you will be strong. Our faith is nourished through teaching. Teaching is very, very important. So that is why, as a child of God that desire growth, you will pursue teaching. You will create time for teaching, to attend it, to participate, to be involved, to listen. You see the story of Mary and Martha. You know, Mary and Martha, actually, when Jesus visited them, one of them knows the importance of growth in our life. He abandoned the other social activities that typically man will do when they receive somebody like Jesus in their house. The teaching is important. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, creating time to attend Bible study, house fellowship, Sunday school, where teachings of the Word of God is being delivered. When you don't have passion for this, it means there is no desire to grow. I'm telling you. And a lot of believers don't even think of it. What time is church starting? When is praise and worship? When is sermon starting? That is their own time that church begins. Because what is happening before, oh, it's Sunday school. It's not important. As a growing child of God, you will desire to learn. You will desire to be taught. You will look for teachings. Where there is teaching, biblical teachings of the Word of God, you will endeavor. You will do everything because you desire. No child, no matter how you care for that child, if you don't feed the child, the child will not grow. The child will not grow. If you're just telling the child every single day, son, you know I love you. You know I love you. Daddy love you. Mwah. And you go. Breakfast, I love you. Lunch, I love you, son. Dinner, I love you. One day, people will start asking you questions. Is this your son? Okay. You know what is lacking? What is it? Speak. Yeah. Food, food, food. All the father is providing is, hey, I love you. We put money around. And the poor child cannot do anything with all these things. He needs food because he's a babe. You can carry and throw him up and lay him down, put him in whatever. Beautify the home, his room and all that. Decorate it very well, very, very wonderful. When you fail to give the child food, the child will not grow. Food is important. And our food, as child of God, that is growing, is what? The teaching of the Word. The teaching of the Word. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Then Christ will make his home in your heart. See, I told us before, I said trust. The word trust is very, very important. As you obey and accept the word of God, you must trust that word. When you trust that word, you will be able to do according to that word. When you begin to trust the word of God, see what the Bible is saying. Then Christ will do what? Will make his home in your heart as you read the Bible. Right? Are you with me? As you read the Bible, Christ will make his home true or false? No, not be true. A lie. Now lie. As you trust, it's not as you read. As you trust, you can read as you want. Unless you begin to trust, trusting the word, it will not happen. When you begin to trust the word, then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your root will now grow down into God's love and keep you what? Praise the Lord. Do you see that this thing is so simple for us to understand? The only requirement for us to grow, for our roots to grow deeper, is to begin to trust the word. It's to begin to what? Trust the word. When you begin to do that, Christ will now make his home in your heart. Then who is controlling your heart? Christ. The love of Christ controls us. It won't happen until this happens. You will now see that you will be living the life of the world. That is the life of love that the Bible is talking about. Because I want us to understand it clearly. When we say the love of Christ controls us, it's nothing other than just begin to live the life of the world by trusting the world, believing the world, accepting the world. Don't question the world, because in the beginning was the world. The world was with God, and the world was God. You were not in the beginning. But the world has been in the beginning. All you need to do when there is no clarity is to ask God to give you understanding. And when the Spirit of God opens your eyes to the Word, you will understand the Word. Then your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And guess what will be coming out of you? Love. And we said the love simply means doing the Word. So stop focusing on your past. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, brethren, if you don't have a good beginning. By the time you switch it around and you begin to trust the world, I'm telling you, I'm giving you the assurance today, you are having a great hand. Because you had switched from how you started. It is not how anymore. It is now who you are. There is difference between how and who you are. It is who you are now that reflects what you do. We must close the chapter of our past and begin to switch it around, begin to trust the word, begin to believe the word, begin to accept the word, and obeying the word. That means we are trusting the word. Then we are having a glorious end. All things have passed away. Praise God. Very quickly, we go to the second part. The first one is let your root grow down in him and let your lives be built, what? On him. That is, we have to develop. We have to develop the faith that we have. After believing and accepting the word, there are things for us to do. We cannot be idle as Christians. To build onto something takes effort. Trust me, it takes effort. And your effort is your consistency in your desire to grow as a child of God. By keep focusing, disregarding what comes, what you see, but keep focusing, keep trusting on the word. It's not cheap. Because a lot of distraction will come, things will happen really that can distract your attention from the word. You will think maybe the word is good for this, it is not good for this. You will be looking for what? The word is good for everything. Amen? To build our lives on him requires effort. It simply means to develop ourselves. You can say, I gave my life to Christ, but for people to see the Christ in you, you must develop the Christ in you. Are you with me? Yes. Let me say it again. For people to see the Christ in you, you must what? Develop the Christ in you. That is, you must grow. That is what that scripture is saying. Let's build our lives on him. He is the foundation, but we must grow in it. See, if I see this illustration, I really like it. Let's say this is a portable camera. If I take a picture now, you can come. I just took a picture of Onyeka in my phone. Right? Let's see, this is a camera. Everybody, I have pictures of Onyeka. I have picture of Onyeka Chukwu Emmanuel. Show me the picture of Onyeka. Do you know, even if I'm doing this, you can't see it. Can you see it? You can't. What will make you to see the picture that I took with this camera is for me to do what? Develop it. When I develop the film, then I can show you, and wherever you are, people are all over the world. They know you, they see Christ in you because you develop it. Are you getting my point? If I fail to develop the film, I can just go everywhere. I have picture of Onyeka. I have picture of Christ. Onyeka is Christ. I have picture of Christ. Christ lives in me. No, you need to develop it. When you develop the Christ in you, it will be evident to all. Development is important for people to see the Christ in you. Praise God. So how do we develop the faith we have? 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us, and we have these steps. We did it before a long time ago when we were in Orange. We even have it on the wall. But I want to go over it again with us today, and we will close from there. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. And we take it one by one. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. Because you have these blessings, do all. I told you develop takes effort. Do all you can to do what? To add your life these things. Do all, brethren, that you can. To begin to what? Add to your faith. See, faith is the basis. And I said, faith is a gift from God. Faith is something we have received. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace that you believe. God saved you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for it. It is what? Gift from God. Now, God is telling us, for you to be developed, the gift I gave you, which is the faith, add to it. Go back to 2 Peter. What are we adding to our faith? Number one is what? Everybody shout it. Goodness, goodness, goodness. This is moral excellence that reflects the praise and glory of God. Morally and ethically disciplined, to live a very disciplined lifestyle. It is something that you cannot say, I believe in Christ, I have faith, and your life is pushing people away. It's contradictory. We need to build moral. We need to build virtue. We need to build goodness on top of our faith. Seeking the character of God as the standard and the goal for our own character. That is goodness. Seeking the character of God as the standard and goal for our own character. Come with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Now, you are wearing a new life. A life that is new every what? Every day. So it is an everyday thing that we should covet goodness, virtue, doing good, being good morally, ethically, seeking the character of God. Making the character of God as the standard, as the yardstick for our own life. Before you speak, how will Christ speak? Before you act, how will Christ act? If you're asking yourself and you are pursuing this, it means you are seeking the character of God as your own goal for your new character. Now you are wearing a new life, a life that is new every single day. You are growing in your understanding of the one who made you. You are becoming more and more like him. Praise the Lord. I want us to pay attention to this. This is not about God bless me, give me this, give me that. But this is what handles it all. If we can pay attention and focus to our spiritual growth, yielding to the word of God and what God is commanding us to do, you will see that a lot of things that we do, that we pray for, that we labor for, you don't need to. Because they will just flow. It is part of the package. To your faith, add goodness. To your goodness, back to 2 Peter, yes, add knowledge. To your goodness, add what? Knowledge. So what is knowledge? When we're talking of the knowledge that the scripture, that God is asking us to add to our faith, our virtue, then our knowledge, we are talking of doctrinal and experiential knowledge of whom God is. Are you with me? Both doctrinal and experiential knowledge of whom God is. Your knowledge of the Lord must be deep in order for your faith to continue to grow. It is very, very important. So this is, knowledge means knowing who God is like and what he wants us to be as well. You must have that knowledge of whom God is like and what he wants you to be. Because when you have the knowledge of what God wants you to be, it means your life is being reshaping to his image. Knowledge is important. For knowledge, we are to continue. What are we adding to knowledge? Everybody shout it. Self-control. Self-control. Not others' control. Self-control. You know, there is a difference between self-control and others' control. Don't worry about others. Don't control others. You control yourself. Self-control is important. It is the opposite of self-indulgence. It is the ability to take control, to take grip of oneself. If you are a child of God, you don't have self-control, it is a disaster. It is dangerous. Even when it comes to sleep, some people don't have self-control. When it comes to eat, you should have self-control. It is applicable to anything in life. When it comes to spending, you should have self-control. Right? Yes. When it comes to talking, you should have self-control. True? Yeah. No matter how brand new a vehicle is, if the brake is faulty, there will be an accident. Self-control is like the brake that we are to have. Have the power to be able to grip yourself. Even when you are hungry, you know, if you don't have self-control, you will go out of the window. When you lack self-control, you can destroy a home that you built by yourself just because you're hungry. I witnessed a fight one time. I think I've shared this with you before. Husband and wife that were fighting. And they were, because of anger and the lack of self-control, they were helping each other to destroy their belongings. I was there myself. Everybody was shouting, stop this, mama, whatever. Stop this now. Listen to your husband. You are the husband. They were actually meeting themselves by the door and giving way. This one passed to go and carry TV. You know that kind of anger. And my family gave us this at our wedding. It is my family that gave us this. They carry this, throw it from the second floor. Oh man. Anger. At a point, the woman pick a bottle like this, just on the head. It do like this. The moment she turned it like this, all of us that were begging, we went. All of us went flat. She threw the bottle. It reached the end of the wall and bounced back. You are laughing. Won't you fly as well? You have the power of God to stop everything, right? It was so dangerous. The old street, and this is Nigeria, not America. Someone could have called 911, and everybody was just pleading, shouting, this is bad, this is devil, this is Satan, this is Satan. Everybody, some people are pushing their children away. You lack self-control, you will not even know when you say things you shouldn't have said. Self-control is important. Praise the Lord. It is the ability to curb our physical passion. Let me put it that way. Self-control is the ability to curb our physical passion. It is very, very important that we put ourselves in charge and not the anger. Listen, the Bible says be angry. I'm not saying be angry is not something. No, we all get angry. I get angry too. But what did they say after that? Be angry, but do not sin. When you let anger now take over and begin to dictate your action, then it's leading you to sin. You should still remain your position, be in charge, even as you are angry. Praise God. The next is what? Patience. Another version, call it perseverance. Patience and perseverance, actually the same thing. It enables us to persist in our pursuit of godly character, even when we suffer. See, patience comes with pain. Let me tell you the honest truth. Patience comes with what? Perseverance. It's not something you just laugh about. It will cost you pain. But you know why you are going through that patience. You know why you are giving up your right. You know why you are keeping quiet. You know why you are letting them win. It's not every battle you should win. Praise the Lord. Can you ask your neighbor, do you have patience? Some people are afraid to even look at their neighbor. Perseverance persists in doing what is right, even though doing so may produce difficulties. Perseverance has to do with pain. Let's move on quickly because of our time. What are we adding to perseverance? Devotion to God. Devotion to God, that is godliness. Devotion to God. This is the attitude of reverence when we seek to please God in all things. Godliness brings the sanctifying presence of God into all the experiences of life. It is the attitude of reverence that we have. You see, a godly person, they don't just walk anyhow. They don't just do things anyhow. They reference God in their action, in their decision. When you talk to a godly person, they will tell you, can I get back to you? But an ungodly person will tell you, oh, yeah, I've been expecting that position. You know, I'm supposed to be the head of that ministry. They will just act. There is no reverence for God in what they do. There is no reverence for God in what they say. There is no reverence for God in how they act. they just move without acknowledging God. The Bible says, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge. How do you acknowledge God? By consulting with Him before you take action. Knowing that even though you are the head of the home, you have a head. Even though you went to college, you have a boss. Even though you are smart, you have a master. Acknowledging God in all your ways will always put you on the right path. Praise God. Are you still with me? We have two more. We're almost done. We are doing good. We are doing good. Make all these things like step, a ladder that you follow. You work on them day by day. And you continue to grow. Continue to grow. You continue to grow. What is the next? To your devotion to God, brotherly kindness. Hey, this version says, brothers and sisters in Christ. Be kind to brothers and sisters in Christ. Brotherly kindness. It is the love saints should have for each other. It is not only the love for the people in your ministry or the people in your circle. As a child of God, brotherly kindness is something that should flow from you to anyone else around you that is your brother and your sister. It desires a right relation with God and man. Godliness brings the sanctifying presence of, brotherly kindness is what we're talking about, right? Ideally, we should be a blessing to each other. If I ask you now, so look at the person next to you. When was the last time? I know some people are always husband and wife, which is good. That is even the best for this scenario. When was the last time you were good to that person next to you? When was the last time? Emmanuel Adekwe, why are you looking at the back? You have somebody next to you. You just got married. He was looking at the back. I just said it not too long ago. I said, don't worry about others. That's my boy. I can pick on him well. Don't worry. Your wife will get you when you get home. Give him a long list. Give him a very long list. He's looking at the couple sitting behind him. He wanted to see what they are saying to themselves. When was the last time you were being good to the person next to you? This is not somebody from your home. This is your brother. This is your sister. This is your brother. This is your sister. It doesn't have to be from your family. The Bible is not saying only your family members. Some people are only good to their family members. We are to be good to each other. And it is reciprocal. It is something that should flow from you and from me. We should always embrace each other, always accommodate each other, always encourage each other. Let me tell you something. You may find it so difficult to believe this, but I will tell you. And I know some of you will believe with me. Do you know that the best way to defeat the devil, let me ask the question in this way. Is it by praying or by being good? Eh? By being good. Are you sure? You are just being spiritual in this place here. But okay, are we doing it? When you see the devil, what do? The best way to defeat the devil is to begin to do the opposite of who the devil is and what the devil is doing. By the time you're doing the opposite of who the devil is and what the devil is doing, you know, Evil simply comes from devil. By the time you add letter D to evil, what does it give you? Devil. So evil comes from devil. By the time, if you are doing what the evil is giving, doing to you, you are doing it back, there is no defeat right there. The two of you have been defeated. But what is the secret of victory right there? You do good. She didn't greet you. You greet. No, I'm older than him. He met me in this country. What does that have to do? What does that have to do? I own a home. He's renting. Really? My friend, call him and greet him. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. We are reading it together. Look up. Let's read it. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil. Can we read it again? Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil by doing good. Is it by praying? God, devil, in the name of Jesus, let's hold our hands. Let's hold our hands. And when you finish prayer, you tell your children, don't greet them. Don't pass by their house. Don't take anything from them. And you just finish prayer. Did you see why prayer? See, I'm really happy the session we had about prayer and other, what prayer is. A lot of things we call prayer is not prayer. It's just noise. Joining hands, holding hands, praying. Devil, you are defeated. In the name of Jesus. Devil, you don't need to pray. You need to go and do that scripture. Do that scripture. Begin to do the opposite of what evil is giving you. And then you will see how victorious you will be. That is the secret of God's word. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. How do we resist the devil? You're preaching to your neighbor again. It's me and you today. Tell your neighbor again, be good. I want you to make eye contact. Yes. Praise the Lord. And the last one. The last one, because of our time, the last one, what are we putting on brotherly kindness? Love. 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 That is agape love. Love is not prompted by what the other person is or does, but by a love rooted in what God is. That is the love of God that flows through us. So it's not about that person, what they are, or who they are, or what they are doing. We need to pray. And it means when something happens, you shouldn't just pray for that situation. You pray for yourself. Lord, help me here. Give me the strength that I need. When you begin to pray for yourself, that help me to, Lord, to handle this your way. Instead of focusing on them, God, they don't know who they are messing with. No. Focus on yourself. At that moment, begin to pray for yourself. Lord, I want to place you. I want to do your way. Open my eyes. Help me right here. If you don't help me, I can't do it. I will mess up. I will disappoint you. Lord, I need your help. Jesus has the power of God. And I'm connected to Jesus. It means then you will do what Jesus would do. And you'll be proud of yourself. You get to your room and be like, wow. I did that. I said that. Unbelievable. You know why? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed before they all know you. Once somebody says something like that, you take off your shirt, you take off your shoe, you give it to them. They will start begging you. It takes 7 people to take you down. But now, they are scared. They don't know what they are expecting, but you will reflect Christ. By the time they say it, people are looking at each other that, hey, it's going to be rough today. But they just see you smiling. Don't worry. It's okay. I will see what I can do to that. They will be surprised. If any man is in Christ,
new creature. Old things have passed away. Let's see what happened when we do all this as we close. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. God has chosen you and made you his holy people. He loves you. So your new life should be like this. Hello? Our new life should be what? Like this. Now let's go. That is where I want you to join me. Show mercy to others. Okay? Be kind. Okay? Be humble. Yes? Be gentle. Yes? Be patient. Yes? Continue. Verse 13. Don't be angry with each other, but forgive each other. If you feel someone has wronged you, forgive others because the Lord forgave you. Verse 14. Together with these things, the most important part of your new life is to love each other. Love is what holds everything together in perfect unity. Verse 15, the last verse. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking. It is for peace that you were chosen not to be together in one body, and always be thankful. Can you bow down your heads and just tell God, Lord, this is me. Help me.